Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery, 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined It's for Breakfast, all thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery. Do you know 70% already, Roo?
Yes.
We've only talked about it for 2 days.
Yeah, we discussed
70%.
Discussed at the dinner table last night. Old Papa Mario was down from Wakery. He said, I might just buy one of those. So
I can see Papa Mario driving around in his Merc.
Yes,
or
I
can Porsche.
See Papa Mario laying on the beach down at Tennyson.
Yeah,
and with 500 grand splashed around him.
Yeah, so get your tickets today.
Yep,
homelottery.com.au.
Tobacco, legal tobacco. We've spoken about this a couple of times on the show over the last couple of years. I've never seen illegal tobacco. I've never seen anyone smoke it. I've never sort of. Mixed anywhere where it's around, but it's been coming in more and more. They now think that Australian government is missing out on $1.6 billion a year just in taxes. So that must mean there's a hell of a lot more dollars worth of illegal tobacco entering Australia. So it's a lot of money now that they're trying to get on.
Do we know that people are growing it here?
I think it's getting imported. You quote me on
that's a big number, though.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. It's a massive amount. So it's a bit of an issue, and we're all missing out on dollars in the budget for that. So they have to make cuts in other places, whether it's, we've heard about what's happening in the unis at the moment and things like that. So there's a lot of money there. They found a hand grenade in a backyard out 60 k's north of Adelaide. Imagine just buying a house or going out and digging up your back garden, thought I might put a veggie patch in and finding a hand grenade in your backyard.
It's amazing. So when you say north of Adelaide, where was it?
Well, I said 60 k's north. They haven't been specific, someone who owns a house called the police about 10:30 yesterday and said...
we're under attack.
I think I found a hand grenade. Oh, actually, it's at Freeling.
Oh.
Freeling.
Just the verge of the Barossa there.
Yeah, beautiful little spot. So... not sure how old or new it was.
God, Freeling's a war zone all of a sudden.
Yeah, so not exactly what you'd think you'd find when you're playing in your sandpit.
No, but what about the speaking of up north at Gawler? What about what happened there at a pub there?
Oh, well, this is what happens when you have a few quiet beers on a Monday afternoon with your mates.
It's good for you.
It's good for you if you get spot 10 and Keno
and
win $3.5 million.
What?
How
many numbers did they have to get?
10.
Gee.
That's what spot 10 means.
Ah.
Yeah. You got to get all 10 out of 10.
So you write down 10 numbers and you've got to get the perfect 10.
10 out of 80. Yeah. So that's not easy to do, Dits. That's what these boys did. And
so a couple of mates have got 1.7 each.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too much. Yeah, two mates. So, that's a good day, isn't it?
Yeah. So when you put your ticket through...
And you sit there.
Take a while to count that out of the two.
You've watched Keno, haven't you?
Yeah.
Surely you've sat at the bar and many times and see all the different ways that the numbers get popped out.
Yeah.
You sit there and, I've got one.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, we've got another a few.
One. Kids' birthdays. Yeah, good. They came out.
So how good would that be on a Monday afternoon? We might try and get hold of the public and all the winners a little bit later on in the show, but... Good way to start.
Just
the week.
Enhances my argument that sitting in the front bar is good for you.
Sometimes it is
can
good.
Can be profitable.
That's right. That's right.
All right. That's what's making news, Roo.
Yes, Colombia. A little bit of an update over there too, Dits. At the moment, a suspicious way of buying a ticket was another red flag. Was a tip off. That's right. Come from Hong Kong, and this is a red flag that sometimes can happen.
So the word is that she got a last minute ticket or purchased a last minute ticket out of Hong Kong to go to Colombia, and maybe the authorities were watching someone in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's certainly another red flag, which adds to all of this, and more is going to come out every day.
Yeah, all right. What's
in fact,
coming up?
We're talking to a journo a little bit later on about it, so we'll get a bit more detail then.
All right, we will. Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Roo and Dits for breakfast.
The Governor-General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, it's been another massive week for Big Mal. Headlines everywhere. In particular...
Good morning to you, Roo.
Gee, the lady up in Queensland's had a massive crack at you. Anastasia Palaszczuk, not happy with you at all.
I think it's pronounced Palaszczuk.
Sorry.
Never mind. Yes, I'll make this quite clear. I like Anastasia Palaszczuk. She has given me a burn, but I'll return fire like a Gen Y. She's a real punish. See what I did there? I was young for a moment. Now, it is one of my favourite names to say, Anastasia Palaszczuk, along with Gladys Berejiklian and Usman Khawaja. They just feel good in the mouth. I think all of those names should be on the spelling syllabus, but when she says I'm worse than Tony Abbott, I mean, what does she mean? Ooh. Worse at eating onions, or worse at knighting the Duke of Edinburgh, or worse at getting around vaguely exposing myself through a thin film of nylon in my dick stickers every morning? I mean, Palaszczuk has quite the nerve. Do you know, guys, I went to Queensland during Cyclone Debbie, and I pretended to be interested in them for a couple of days. I mean, what more do they want? Queenslanders, they really are the worst.
She said you don't ring her back. I mean, just get on the blur and give her a call. That's
give her a call. Yeah. Hello, Anastasia. How are you? I just want to say before moving on to the next question, that girl from Moana, Cassie, she's been caught with some cocaine in her headphones, also known as Rack, GAC, Bolivian marching powder, and booger sugar, I believe.
Well, we're
giving her as much support as we can through the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Right. Yeah.
But mind you, I've just arrived in America, and some guy gave me a couple of headphones. So look out!
Big Mel, you might be on fire soon. Yeah. Hey, gas has been all the talk last week. What's so exciting about gas?
Well, what is exciting about gas? I think, Roo, we need to look to the future for clean, renewable energy, inexpensive energy. Now, gas is not clean, it's not renewable, and it's not expensive, but you've got to say something, don't you? You've just got to say something, and the plebs, you know, schlepping along to their jobs this morning will be thinking, oh, gas sounds all right. I mean, you'll take whatever you can get in South Australia, won't you?
Yes, we'll
take wood-fired power. I could say, you know, pensionified power, and people go, oh, yeah, it sounds all right. We've got a lot of those. Throw a couple of those on the barbie. But I just have to say something.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Are you looking forward to meeting up with Trump?
Oh, yeah, it's tomorrow, isn't it?
Well, it's very exciting. Tomorrow on the USS Intrepid, it's a maritime museum, I'll be subtly sussing out his hairdo. I mean, where does it begin? Where does it end? Are the sides stuck on? And I'll diplomatically broach the fact that I don't think he hung up on me. I'll just say it must have been a bad line from the most secure office in the world to the most secure office in this country.
Yeah.
Telstra can be a bit shit at times. And then I'll...
You going to get a selfie?
I'll get a selfie and then I'll throw myself at his feet and beg him not to let North Korea blow us into oblivion, I guess.
Yeah, if you could. That'd be handy.
I think that's the way to go.
It is. Hey, now, as you leave us, any songs in your head this week?
Well, I have. I've been putting the eponymously titled Wolf Mother 2005 CD in the selector of the Bentley.
Hey, Ditz is close to Wolf Mother too. He knows the lead singer very, very well.
Yeah,
I said the Joker is a wanted man. He makes his way all across the land. I see him sifting through the sand, so I'll tell you all the story about the Joker and the thief and the knight. I love it. I get really fired up.
Well, at least you'd
love
that.
And before I go, I just want to say the Triple M rocks, Moana.
Yeah.
Be careful out there.
Yes, do.
Good on you, Big Mal.
Good on you, guys. You're great constituents, man.
Triple M on Ruined Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, Roo, he's my hero. He's my inspiration. Jackson Trengove, good morning.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Oh, you're kicking him from everywhere.
Been all right, been able to kick a couple, so it's been different, but it's been good fun up there.
Do you like it in the forward line better than the back line? At least you don't have to pick someone up forward
much. You don't stress as much as as a forward. I reckon when I was a defender, you'd stress for a couple of days about who you got to play on, and then you'd go out and hopefully beat them. But as a forward, you just go out and do your business. But when it's coming in like it is, it's nice and fun up there.
Well, you can only beat who you play. You've thrashed Carlton, thrashed Brisbane, but playing very good footy as a team. It's fast footy. It's quick play on. It's great.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we probably spoke about that during the week about, you know, the media hyping up that we've only played, you know, bottom sides or less quality sides. But I think as a team, we're playing the football that we want to play. We're playing the style that we want to play. And I think that's the most important thing. If you do win those games, you want to play it the way you want to play it, which we've been able to do. And in previous years, we haven't been able to do that. And those teams have tested us. I think Carlton and Brisbane have both beat us over the last couple of years. So it's good to turn the tide and get some really quality wins against those oppositions.
Everyone keeps mentioning 2014, right, and making a comparison. But it does appear, though, as you are playing that sort of footy, back when you were in that type of form.
Yeah, I think so. I think, that was the year that we sort of broke through and from, some really poor footy and then had a really quality season under Ken in his first year. So it does seem to feel like that around the club. We've got the confidence back around the group that just feels like, no matter what, you can sort of go out there and perform and perform at a level that we expect. And I think people say you're not trying last year or you didn't try the year before. We were trying. It just wasn't coming off like we wanted it to. And this season so far, it's been pretty good. We've lost a couple of games to some quality opposition, but the next 2 weeks is pretty important to us as a football club.
Is that the best game Charlie Dixon's played for Port Adelaide on the weekend? 12 marks, 4 goals, 3, 20 possessions, 125 points in terms of champion data. That is, I think, his best game he's played, isn't it?
Yeah, Ru, I would say that was probably Charlie's best game, just the way he tacked the ball. I think probably people don't understand or see the work that Charlie does away from, just his marks and his kicks on goal. He's been terrific this season with his pressure on the ground. For a bloke of 6'5", he's 110 kilos. The way
he reckons he felt like a dwarf next to
him. I was at the airport. I couldn't believe how big he was.
I feel small in front of him. He's a monster. And the way he moves on the ground, he's able to chase, put pressure on. I think that's the thing that people don't see. He's normally up against a couple of opposition as well. So he does compete really well. He brings the ball to ground. But as for getting some goals and getting a bit of, ball, the weekend was probably his best game, I think.
Midfields where games are won and lost. We speak about that every week. And the more midfielders you have that can rotate through there, the better for end of quarters and end of games. So you've got plenty of petrol tickets left. Wingard doesn't play in the middle too often. He did on the weekend and had 31 disposals. Can he play as a midfielder week in, week out? And why hasn't he so much in the, even this year he really hasn't done it much?
Yeah, I think we'd like to see him in the midfield a lot more, but then you obviously take away his goal sense and what he does up forward with the amount of goals he kicks and he's kicked in his career so far. So you sort of lose that a little bit with his scoring power when he goes into midfield, but 31.
If you're rotating Robbie Gray through there and up forward as well,
I think
it'll certainly work.
That'll definitely be what Kenny will be aiming for, I would guess. I think with obviously Boakey out last week, it was more Chad in on ball. So a little bit about the players that we've got on the park at the time. But yeah, definitely Chad in there is pretty exciting.
Can I ask you about Travis Boak's got to come back in, but also Nathan Cracker, to me, is just a wonderful player. And he kicked 5 on the weekend in the seconds game, whatever we call it, the Sandful game. He is a quality player, and somehow, I don't know, I reckon you've got to fit him in as well in the weeks to come, but it's not going to be easy, is it?
No, it's not going to be easy. If you watch the game on the weekend, Ditz, Crack didn't really leave the 50. He's been a bit sore with his heels, so we know what a magic player he is with that sort of, as long as he gets the ball in his hand, and Crack was able to kick 5 on the weekend, but it probably wasn't, Crack's best game because he wasn't able to move with his heel. So he is a little bit
and
sore.
And who did he stand? You need to check that out, I would think, too, Ditz.
And what?
Who did he stand?
A real good player, apparently. Kick 5 on your best defender.
he is a little bit sore, but, Crack's definitely one of those players that can slot in. He's kicked goals at AFL level, yep. Super talent, and when the ball's in his hand, he's terrific.
Has Brad Ebert had a baby yet?
He had one yesterday.
What happened?
Yeah, so a little boy.
And he chopped off the man bun as well.
Got rid of the haircut. I reckon his missus has given him a bit of a, come on, son, we've got some family.
Tidy up.
So he had a little boy.
Little boy, yeah.
Oh, Roo, another Ebert.
What do they call it?
Hey. Leo.
Leo Ebert.
Another Ebert on the way, Roo.
How
the
fantastic
dynasty.
Is that?
The That's dynasty good. Continues. Hey,
well
more
done.
More with Jackson Trengove in just a moment. He joins us thanks to Comwire IT, Complete IT Support and Cloud Solutions Business. Another Port Adelaide captain on the way. I can't believe it.
Beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
Good work.
Triple M on Ruin Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT, Complete IT Support and Cloud Solutions Business.
7:55, Jackson Trengove's in the studio. Hey, Jacko, we won't see you next week. It'll be Hamish's turn to come in. I'll give you my suit size. I'll give you my shoe size, a couple of shirts. I wouldn't mind. Well, he's off to China next week.
Oh, yeah. Get heaps.
Give us those Lacoste shirts that cost $1 each.
Let me know what you need.
You need some new shirts. You've worn the same one 2 days in a row.
Yeah. The wife wants... I've got two of them. The wife wants a leather handbag that I'll give you the picture of.
Leather jacket. A real leather one.
Yeah. Can I get one of those real leather jackets? I'm prepared to pay
$20. That's okay. All right. I'm a good barterer, so I'll work with that.
Don't bring back any headphones.
Right. I definitely won't be doing that.
Oh,
and
I won't
be coming back via London either. So it'll be all good.
Now, when you go over there, you obviously play the game. What else are you doing? You're staying?
I'm staying over. My partner and little girl are coming over to watch the game. So
on
a little junket herself.
Jeez whiz.
Just booked it and then said, hey, honey, I'm coming. And I said, no worries.
So, have you flown with the baby yet?
I haven't, and I won't be, because I'm smarter than that.
No, it's really easy.
I got on the flight home one earlier than her, so I won't be seeing any of that. But
really? You're not flying with your wife?
No. She booked her flights, and I just planned mine nicely the day before. So
chivalry.
I was a bit smarter than that. But
no, it's not dead, is it?
No, I'll stay over for a couple of days, and we'll go over and go over to Beijing after Shanghai and see the Great Wall of China and have a little bit of a look around. So hopefully we get the 4 points, otherwise it'll be pretty miserable.
Yeah,
you had a few supporters up there on the weekend too. For Port Adelaide people went up there, didn't they?
In Brisbane?
Yeah, up to Brisbane.
Yeah, actually, I talked about this the other day with Roo, how inspirational it must have been when you ran through that banner. Because we know the cheer squad's put a lot of time and effort into it. And your banner, I don't know if you saw it, Jacko. Did you happen to see
I did, mate. I actually came out of the race and I was a bit flat and I saw the banner and, geez, I got up and about.
Yeah, Roo, it said, meet in the Queenslander room after the game for a beer.
Right! Let's win and get back there afterwards.
Normally there's some great rhyming thing about let's eat the Lions alive or let's do something. But
did you see St Kilda's against Hawthorn? Before the game they had... Our Jacks will be nimble, because they got a couple of lads called Jack. Our Jacks will be nimble. Our Jacks will be quick. Saints, say thanks for your next year's first draft pick. So that's before the game.
I reckon that's absolutely brilliant. I reckon, the more of that, the better. I think it's a little bit of a bit of fun, but seems to be getting more advertising nowadays, boys. I think, the banner's nice and big, but more fun,
good.
The better, I reckon. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And you had your christening last weekend as well. How did all that go? Have you worked out the... Pretty boring yet?
It was reasonably boring, but it was good to have. Actually, I had a little bit of a story. I obviously got in a little bit of strife last week and had a bit of a shiner under the eye. And
your wife would have been proud of you again.
She wasn't that happy, but she had this makeup lady come in, and I'm like, "You beauty, I'm going to just float around you." I've never seen what they do with all that makeup business. So she's taken about an hour and a half, mind you. So I'm waiting around for a long time. And I said, "Hey, love, do you reckon you can just touch up this eye?" And she said, "No worries." So she popped a bit of makeup on. It looked brilliant. The eye come up a treat. But we're in there, and the priest flicks the holy water at all the mums. And then beautifully goes, "Oh, look, this might wreck your makeup." And the mums are all there. And as you know, they all fix up their makeups afterwards. And then the dads go up and goes, "It's not going to be an issue, the makeup with you guys."
No.
I'm thinking, not for half these blokes. Little did you know that I had a handful of makeup on the eye, and that started absolutely dripping
up. So your mascara ran?
The mascara ran, and everyone of my family knew that I had makeup on, so they were all losing it, and everyone's thinking, what's going on here? But it was a bit of fun, and a great day was had down there, and little girl got christened.
Yeah. What's your little girl's name?
Sophia.
Sophia. Yeah. Beautiful.
So she was in the bath, absolutely small bath. It's they put the holy water on it.
Yeah.
Everyone's
going to church a bit, do you?
All these babies are crying, and little Sophia absolutely
she
wanted to jump in. She was having the time of her life.
What she's had for a while.
So it was great. No, it was a great day.
Yeah, good on you, Jacko. Well, good luck against West Coast this week. I think you'll rock and roll them comfortably. They're no good on the road. They've got a few injuries. And you blokes are fully fit and on fire. So keep up the good work. Keep kicking goals and keep Dits just floating around about 6'4" at the moment.
Exactly. Very good.
Him and Ken are getting on again.
Just remember Armani suit. Couple of Lacoste shirts.
Yeah.
Send me through the message and
25 ties.
Nike
all
shoes.
For $1 each.
Nike shoes are about $4 up there.
Chase it up for you.
And a couple of real original rip-off.
Couple of watches.
Leather jackets.
Jackets.
Watches.
Watches, yeah. You want watch?
Yeah.
And 16 headphones.
There you go. Jackson Trengove joined us thanks to Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, the young Adelaide girl, Cassie Sainsbury, 22-year-old, has had quite a while over there in Bogota. And the stories keep coming each morning. We're hearing more and more. We're getting little snippets. Channel 7 news reporter Ashley Mullaney is on the ground in Bogota. She joins us now. Ashley, good morning. We're hearing today the latest is about a dodgy or a last-minute airline ticket that was bought in Hong Kong. What do we know about that?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I can say we're just starting to hear snippets of information or starting to see a bit of a picture about Cassandra's movements in the lead up to her arrest. What we're hearing is that her airline ticket, what raised suspicions with authorities was the purchase of her airline ticket in Hong Kong. We are also hearing that she was travelling extensively, that she'd been in China and then on to LA before she actually came to Colombia. She's posted a fair few pictures on social media before she came to Colombia. And I'll just expand on that a little bit as to how this operation actually unfolded. So she was obviously stopped at the airport, but it was the drug authority in North America that actually tipped off authorities in Colombia. They sent an email on the 5th of April to Colombian narcotic team here with Cassandra's passport number, her name, her photograph, basically putting an alert on her passport if she was to go to the airport. And, of course, that's why they've stopped her there.
So whoever bought the ticket was obviously a person of interest in Colombia. Is that fair recall or in Hong Kong?
Yeah, well, it's still pretty early stages in the investigation at the moment and lots of missing links in the story, of course. We know the DEA alerted Colombia police, but as far as I'm aware, Australian authorities weren't notified, so the DEA didn't then go on to contact Australia, which raises some questions about whether they believe the drugs are actually for Australia. Her flight on that baggage tag actually shows that she was bound for London and then had a connecting flight onto Australia as well. So there's still plenty of questions. I spoke to the chief of the narcotics team yesterday, actually, and said, are you looking for this man? You know, Cassandra's obviously maintained her innocence. She says that she was set up, that she unwittingly took these drugs, believing that, in fact, these packages were headphones. And the narcotics boss has said, well, it doesn't appear that they're looking for this other person at this stage. They seem to think they've got the right person. I guess as difficult as it is, when you're found with drugs in your possession, and you know what it's like when you go through the airport, you get asked, is this your luggage? That's where she finds herself in a really difficult legal situation here. Mm.
Ashley, over the years with the Chappelle Corby situation, we've seen many, many cameras have access to her. They talk to her through the bars. Is it this type of prison? Have you been able to actually talk to Cassie or get near her or her legal team? Are you likely to?
El Buen Pastor is the prison where she's being held in Bogota. It's a huge prison, tens of thousands of women, the biggest female women's prison in Colombia. Quite a notorious prison, a lot of issues with drugs and violence and things like that. So it would be a daunting situation for her to find herself in. Given the scale and the size of this prison, it's not perhaps as easy to have access to her, and at this stage no one has had direct access to speak to Cassandra. And obviously there's quite a bit of publicity around the case as well, but that might change. I mean, when we have a court date set and she comes to court, might be an opportunity there for us to hear from her, but at this stage we don't know. All we're hearing is secondhand information that she's finding it pretty difficult behind bars, as you would imagine. She doesn't have access to a lot of money, to clothes, to personal items. So I think it's a pretty tough time for her in there at the moment.
Has there been any investigative work on her, the type of job she has got with this international cleaning business? And is that what she was doing, going to China and all these other places on the way? Or?
Yeah, well, she has called this a working holiday, but there's definitely conflicting stories. And I think this is what's raised some suspicion or some scepticism amongst people who have heard Cassandra's story. We heard that she was a personal trainer, and that's the reason why she was on this working holiday travelling around the world. But then we've since seen posts from her fiancé saying that she hasn't worked in that industry for several months and that she was working in this cleaning business. So discrepancies in the story like that, but I guess just not really clear as to exactly what she was doing here. You know, I spoke to some tourists in Bogota last night, and they said you just have to be really wary in a place like Colombia. You have to have your wits about you. You're warned time and time again not to take items from strangers. But at the same time, these people are cunning. We ran a story on 7 News last night about a man who thought he purchased some items off someone, got back to the hotel and found white powder in there, and that was his experience in Colombia. So these people can be cunning. in the way they go about their business and convincing people to do things that they might not otherwise do.
Ashley, thanks so much for taking our call. Ashley Mullaney, you'll see her on Sunrise this morning on Channel 7 and on 7 News tonight. 7 News number one for more than a decade. Roo, so many loose ends with this story, as we know. It is early days, but I want to ask another question here. The route to come home from Colombia to go via London is a heck of a long way roundabout to get back from Colombia.
Is it really?
Mm. You know, the guy, whoever it is in Hong Kong that purchased her ticket, there's another open-ended question. How did that happen? Who is that person?
Looks like there's going to be a fair few things come out in the not-too-distant future. I think it's not looking fantastic.
No. Ruined It's on Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Yeah.
What's happening, Roo?
We had a video come out yesterday of an Uber driver thought he was out there picking up a customer and he picked up something else.
Hey Chelsea,
hey.
How you doing, honey?
Good, thanks.
Good, thanks. How you doing?
Good.
That's good.
Having a good time?
Having a good time, definitely.
Yeah.
How are you going?
Good.
What are you up to today?
Just working.
Yeah?
Yeah, working.
Oh, that's nice. Just finished.
Some money.
That's the way. Yeah. Finished for the day?
Yeah. No, I'm still working.
Oh, cool. What do you do?
I'm just some sex work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Busy day?
Hey?
My girlfriend wouldn't like that too much.
Yeah.
Sorry, honey.
What are you doing then?
What do you mean?
If you got a girlfriend.
How do you mean?
Would you want a girlfriend?
No, I've got a girlfriend, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah, no, I've already got a girlfriend.
Well, you want to do a job with me or?
Hey?
I'm
all good, thanks, honey.
Well, what are you going to do? Have you got any money? You got $10?
I haven't, honey, no, sorry. Yeah,
well, I've got to go, then I've got to go back this way.
Pardon?
I want to get out and go back this way.
You want to get out?
Yeah, because I want to go and make some money.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah.
You have a good night, hey?
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Bye.
No worries. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm Joan Porter.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, who's this, sorry?
Chelsea.
Oh.
My Uber driver.
Oh, my God. I just had...
Now, what happened? He thought the girl, the sex worker that he picked up, he thought that was Chelsea, but it wasn't Chelsea. Well, it might have been Chelsea, but it wasn't the Chelsea.
Yeah, what a good, honest young man.
Yes.
I mean, no one's looking. He could have gone, yeah, all right, $10, bloody hell.
I think she just wanted some money in the end, that girl. But anyway, we've got a couple of Green Day doubles to give away, Dits, haven't we? We're on tonight at the Entertainment Centre.
Have you ever picked up a prostitute? Is that what it
is? Well, you could say that if you like. But
is that what
probably
the
more
is?
taxi/Uber confessions.
Oh, right.
Things that have happened, good or bad, in a taxi or Uber. Or if you're a taxi driver out there that wants to give us a call, something you've seen.
Cabbies see everything, don't they?
Oh, do they ever. Give us a call, and if you want to go to Green Day, tell us something that you've seen in a taxi or an Uber.
Have you got a cab story?
No. I've never done anything wrong with it.
No.
Never seen anyone spew out a window or anything.
My sister-in-law, Jane, if you're listening, Jane chucked in a cab one night. Good on you, Jane.
Oh, God.
And my father and I, hands and knees, this is about 3 a.m. out the front of our house, cleaning the cab.
He made you clean it?
Yeah, well, we felt terrible, and because they're off the road for the rest of the night. You chuck in a cab, they're off the road, and so they lose all their income. So my dad and I, he got the Ajax out, scrubbing brush, we're on hands and knees.
The old Ajax.
Cleaning out the cab.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Well done, Dits.
Here to help.
Triple M.
728 Ruined Dits. We need your cab confessions. We've got a double to go and see Green Day tonight.
Yeah, we sure have. Let's go to Glenelg. Dave, what's happened?
Howdy, boys. Years ago in Broken Hill, and I lived there, we're doing a pub crawl, and we get to the second last pub, hailed a cab. Drag us out to the last pub on the night, so he gets out, and he makes a bit of an Uber-aided in the front. So normally this trip would take about $6 or $7 if it costs. So anyway, we pulls up. Norm gets out, gives the guy $20. Guy hands him the money, goes inside, and I said, oh, how much was a cab fare? He said, it was a bit rich. He should charge me $11.45. I said, you idiot. I said, that was the time.
Now, Dave, a pub crawl in Broken Hill, that can be dangerous. Remember, at its peak, how many pubs were there in Broken Hill?
Well, mate, at its peak, in 87, there was still 36.
36, and what's the population of Broken Hill?
Oh, back then in 86, 87, it was about 28,000, 30,000.
Wow, that's a big town.
Plus you had your licensed clubs, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but now, mate, there's only about, there wouldn't be a dozen. Wouldn't be a dozen.
Well, that's sad, but there was a lot of good pubs in Broken Hill.
It is a great town to go to for a look, too. Let's go to Clarence Park. G'day, Steve.
G'day. How you going, guys?
Good. What's your confession?
So we were living, my wife and I were living in Washington, D.C., and we'd had a new boss come in, and it was our first big night. We had a function on. My wife drank a fair bit too much, and because we all in the same area, we all piled into one taxi and we were going home. My wife said she was going to feel ill and going to be sick. So I did the right thing. I was on the other side and I leaned over and went down a window. She obviously, in a drunken state, didn't notice this. So she wound the window back up again, thinking she was winding it down and then out of the window.
Oh, no.
Just a really nice way to be introduced to our new boss.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, Steve. Okay, let's go to Davern Park. G'day, Steve.
Hey, boys, are up?
Good, Steve. Keep it clean.
What do you got for us?
I was just helping out my brother-in-law one day. He couldn't drive his cab, so I drove it for him. He was driving down Hanson Road there, down near Arndale Shopping Centre. I picked up this girl on the side of the road, and she jumped in the car in the back and started pulling out all of her toys. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I just had a client, and I just cleaned all my toys for the next one.
Oh, down on Hanson Road. Now, okay. We'll just let her use her imagination there, Steve.
Well, you got to clean them. I'm glad she gave him a clean.
Oh, God. All right. We're going to give away a... Oh, no.
I'm just picturing her cleaning action, actually.
Oh, stop it.
No, you got to clean it.
Yeah. let's give away a ticket and move on. We have to give it to Steve, don't we, really?
When Mum walks into the shower, I say, well, I've got to give it a clean.
Steve from Davern Park, you are going to Green Day tonight. Congratulations.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Tree Roo, when we had a couple of weeks off recently, the work experience kids came in.
They did.
Yeah, he's back. One of them, Gleeson.
Hello, Mr. Dits. Hello, Mr. Ricciuto.
Hello, Mr. Gleeson. How are you today?
I'm very good, thanks. Excellent.
Good. Now, part of the stupidity, when you were filling in, we've seen this. Is brilliant. What was the Britney Spears song you did?
Oh, look, it all came about. We were having a bit of fun. I think I was having a crack at one of the artists we play here, proudly on Triple M. And I was going to do a song by said artist, and then we thought it might be a bit better to get people to suggest songs that were really incongruous. So I had Am I Not Pretty Enough? I was going to have a crack at that. But it was a bit slow.
I've been singing that all my life. It's my theme song.
And you get burnt.
Yeah. But you were just sharing with us the success, the number of hits.
I've been in this game 30 years, kids. Yeah. I've been doing it for 30 years, and obviously YouTube's come along in the last few years. And the most hits I've ever had on YouTube or anything I've done is for singing a Britney Spears song. Mm. So
what beautiful. Do you normally get? How many hits do you normally get?
I don't know, 15. Oh, it all depends. Depends what it is. Yeah,
10 or 15,000.
Actually, we did a copy of Better, a version of Better on the M's in Melbourne a few months ago, and that got, I don't know, 30,000 or something like that.
But what did Britney get?
50,000.
50,000.
Oh, well, the kids will be over the moon about it.
Let's have a listen to why it got 70,000. Oh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. Right, oh, now this is
not
that
innocent.
Something else, no.
True.
Now,
that intelligent.
So we've come up with a new segment. We're going to play this first song tomorrow at 8:30. Tell us about it. What is it?
Yeah, well, it was something that started off in the 90s, I think, at the M's, and suburban songs. So you pick, you send in your suburb's name, and
then a
bit of a suggestion on what song you think might.
Then you change the lyrics, do
you? Yeah. Yeah,
I think
it was started by Club Veg over in Sydney years ago, the great Vic Davies.
So have we picked out the song, the suburb that you're doing tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to be doing Paralawi. So we'd like to have some suggestions from you. Get on Facebook, whatever you do, kids, and let us know what you think would be good.
Is that all where we want them sent to Triple M Facebook for the suggestions?
Yep. I think so. Yep.
Okay, send them there.
So
you can have a look at Gleeson doing the Britney Spears song. while you're at it.
Good thing I didn't 50, get my boobs out.
No. You look very comfortable, though, didn't you?
Oh, thanks.
So tomorrow at 8:30, we're going to play the Paralawi song.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward
that's,
to that.
That's kind of like the Newcastle song, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well.
Rolls off the, you're an old Newey boy.
I am indeed.
Mel the Button Pusher, she's a Newey girl.
Rack off Normie, you and your mates. the great Newcastle song.
Yeah, beautiful. Hey, good on you, Gleeso. So tomorrow morning, Paralawi, and then we'll do this every Thursday, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Magnificent.
Sounds good.
The one and only Dave Gleeson.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Now, Roo, fair to say you and I like our tucker.
Oh, I'm surprised you're not an ambassador for this next event.
Well, I'm going to put my hand up, yell as loud as I can. Hopefully they'll pick me next year. But this is brilliant for Adelaide and for South Australia. We're talking Tasting Australia and the director, one of the greatest chefs we've ever produced, Simon Bryant. Good morning, Simon.
Hey, guys. How are you, Roo?
Good. Yeah, I drove past on Sunday night on the way home from the footy past Victoria Square. It looked amazing at night, Simon. Whoever has done the fit out or the plans has done an awesome job.
We've got a great creative team. We had a great vision to not have a row of tents and that feel nothing wrong with that, but we wanted a real statement of glasshouse restaurants and air and water at one end and sort of a burnt out apocalypse at the other. So we've got two very different feels, and yeah, you're right, I love it, I'm proud of it.
So is this open to the public, or are you having special events down there each day?
A bit of both. I'm a bit of a democratic cook. I like to cook at all price points for everyone. So we've got some, you know, amazing $1,000 experiences and $300 dinners.
Wow.
And we've got some $15 food from the fire pit vendors, and we've got some free talks and classes, and you can sit with a chef and do something called a living library. It's free to get in, so I think that there's touch points for everyone.
Awesome. Hey, you spoke about that glasshouse. That's what did catch my eye as I went past. What happens in there? Is that where you're having those $300,000 dinners or whatever? Is that in there?
Yeah, like we've got some $95 dinners with great interstate chefs paired up with locals. We never put the visitors above the locals. It's collaborative and it's about us working together. We're proud of South Australia, but we know that, you know, other people were good too, so we bring them. But there's some kids stuff in some of them, and there's also some wine master classes. So that's kind of the ticketed sort of end of the world. And you can still come and have a look. And then the other end is the free end.
Okay, and a bit of mail around. There's a gin bar this year as well. Now, I know some of the South Australians are doing some great work there. Ditz, who did we speak to?
It was Adelaide Hills Distillery, 78 Degrees won the world's best gin, didn't it, just a couple of weeks ago. So obviously this is a growing industry here in the state, Simon.
Oh, absolutely. We have some amazing boutique distillers. The last year, the Australian Gin of the Year was from South Australia, and nicely, it was the gin that was produced for the Origins dinner, our dinner. And then this year, as you said, we've got the world's best gin. We've got 9 gins on pour. We could have had more, but we just selected them in a gin bar. And that's not free.
Hey, there's a taxi home, I reckon, after that.
Yeah, but really interesting, like Willa's Fig Gin from the Adelaide Foothills, John Lark's Kangaroo Island Spirits. We've got Prohibition, amazing gin.
Prohibition.
Really good one.
That sounds like a good one. Hey, everyone who goes to the central markets loves the experience. You've got some free demonstrations there as well?
Absolutely, and that's part of it. We've got some rock star chefs, obviously, coming in. But we treat the central market as our friend and brother and part of the town square for the week. And some of the visiting chefs will be free in the market. Clayton Wells, Ty Lee from Anchovy, Annalise Gregory from Barbrose. And they're just free. You know, you don't have to pay for a masterclass. You can come and see high-end talent first free. So that's amazing.
Yeah, cool, Zach.
Simon, well done for what you've put together. I mean, we're proud of this, I reckon. You know, to be able to say that we have this on our doorstep. And the other thing, I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but Simon, our restaurants in Adelaide and in South Australia in general are absolute world class. I reckon we are so spoilt for choice. And I love it when I have visitors from interstate or from anywhere to take them out to our restaurants. We are spoilt. It's just amazing. It really is.
Oh, we're really proud. Like, we don't have the $1 million chandelier type restaurants. We've got a couple. But I always say that you go to the East Coast if you want all of the hoo-ha. Come to South Australia if you want the real food, great chefs, and the real hospitality. We're good at it.
Yeah, definitely. Simon, well done, mate. Thanks for talking to us. And this goes on right through until the May the 7th. It's Tasting Australia, and it's helping put us on the map, no doubt about it. Simon Bryant, thanks for your time.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great morning.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:43, Ruined Dits for Breakfast, thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
Pubs are quite often a quiet place on a Monday afternoon. They are, you just get a few desperates in there trying to have a little drink after or hospitality workers.
Desperate's a bit harsh.
No, that's what you were yesterday when you're having a drink
Was it Tuesday yesterday?
I was.
Thank you.
Is it Wednesday today?
It is.
It is. Okay. Well, Mondays or Tuesdays. Sorry about that. But what about if you're just sitting there having a beer with your mate, you know, having a quiet drink, talking to the barman? Should we have a keno bet?
Might as well.
Just give us your change.
Give us your kids' birthdays. Give us the wife's birthday. Yeah. Anniversary.
What's your lucky number?
Lucky number. Throw that in.
Boom! $3.5 million later.
You're kidding.
Oh, you're kidding. You'd have to shout the bar. You'd probably be late for dinner. You might not even come home for the night.
May not never ever come home. This happened at a Gawler pub. Can you believe it? And the publican's on the line. Tony Harnett. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Chris. Hello, Mark.
Gee, how big was it? Tell us a little bit about it. When these fellas realised that it had happened.
Well, I think they took quite a little while to work out that it had actually happened, but they were terribly, terribly excited. And one of the boys, I've got to say, effectively left the hotel. He had to go home and come to grips with it, I think.
Oh, really? He just couldn't get his head around that he was a millionaire.
Whereas his partner was doing cartwheels up and down Murray Street here in Gawler. They were really excited. And it's been a real popular win here in the town because these are two really deserving fellows. They're great guys and very popular in the community.
Ah, good.
How much did they outlay? Like, did they put on, 10 games in a row? Yeah, or they just...
probably about $10.
Yep.
Yes, about 10. They're not real big punters or anything like that.
Mm.
They basically, it gives them something to do while they're having a beer.
Yeah.
And so they just sit there and have it rolling. And really only half an eye on the screen. They're too busy talking to everyone in the bar. And so they had, the numbers came up and they had no idea it was their ticket.
Yeah.
And there was another lady playing in the bar at the same time and she spotted it. And she said, look, one of us must have won this. So she went over and put a ticket in the scanner and said, well, it's not me. It dawned on the boys that it's got to be them.
Because when you're in there, it comes up on the screen, it would have come up spot 10 Gawler, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Gawler. It came up Kingsford Hotel, $3.5 million. It's glaring away in the sports bar and everyone realises... Well, the two boys realise it's got to be them.
Oh, my God.
How good. Yeah. Now, Tony, what happens? Obviously, you can't pay out that money. What happens then? How do they get it? Where do they go?
They have contacted SA Lotteries.
Yeah.
And just to confirm that they have their ticket. And I think the guys at SA Lotteries just confirmed that, yes, it had been won. And they made an appointment with them to come down to town or Adelaide yesterday.
Yep.
And so the boys went down and sat in the lounge at SA Lotteries with a box of chocolates and a big bottle of bubbly. And they went through the details.
Now, we don't want to obviously spill out too much about who they are and everything, but what do these lads do for a job, do you know?
Well, one of the boys is unemployed.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And so it'll really be a life-changing situation for him.
Yep.
Get a financial advisor for him immediately before he blows it.
And one of the others is a retired public servant who works as a handyman around the town.
Fantastic. Did they put any money on the bar?
They have. Plans afoot to do that more substantially.
Yeah. Right, let us know when that's happening.
I feel a bar shout on a Friday night at the Kingsford coming up.
That'll certainly be happening.
Now, I reckon I've eaten at the Kingsford before. Is that the place where you do a stone grill? Is that right?
Yes, we do a stone grill.
It's beautiful feed there.
A great dining room, good gaming room, and fabulous TAB facility. So we've got a really good sports bar.
And a really good Keno facility.
And a real good Keno, one that works.
Now, Tony, you know, when you read about the big lotto wins over the years, there are successful outlets around the place where lightning keeps striking in the same place. So you never know. You never know. It might happen again.
I'm sure that will be happening, boys. Yeah. I'm sure that will be happening.
Well, good on you, Tony. What a great story. And good that two local boys who were deserving of it actually got the cash. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Tony.
Tony Harnetti's the publican at the Kingsford.
Imagine being the publican behind the bar watching that unfold.
Gee, plenty of excitement.
I wonder if they got CCTV footage of that. The facial expressions when you're sitting at the bar having a beer, realising you've just won $3.5 million.
Well, I told you, I was with my brother back a couple of months ago down at Narracourt. He won $4,000 on Keno. And we were that excited. $4,000. Yeah. Now, these boys have won over $3 million.
Oh, that is a huge amount of money. Great story. Well done. And, good. Yeah.
And just to my brother, you can buy a beer anytime you're ready. Oh, man, yeah.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. 104.7 Triple M.